You're listening to The Other Connor Podcast, a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Here's your host, Connor Halley.
Hello, Oilers fans. Thank you once again for tuning in to The Other Connor Podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Connor Halley. Make sure you give me a follow on Twitter at Connor Halley. And before we get going here, one more time, I want to thank our sponsor, DraftKings. This weekend's UFC 262 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a shot at a huge cash prize. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all new customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We've got another great edition of the Other Connor Podcast coming up for you later on in the show. We will talk to Rob Soria. He, of course, the author of Connor McDavid, Hockey's Next Great One, also writing at thehockeywriters.com, currently on hiatus. You can also give him a follow on Twitter at oil_drop. And with Rob, obviously, we're going to talk about Connor McDavid, the 100-point player, and right now, actually, the 102-point player coming off Monday night's win over the Montreal Canadiens. But he wrote the book back in 2017, and we're just going to discuss kind of the evolution of Connor McDavid. And has any of this surprised him? What's he seen from the young phenom, and what more can he do? We'll also talk to Jeffrey Ulrich. He, of course, writes at DraftKings Nation. You can give him a follow on Twitter at The Fantasy Grind, and I highly recommend you do so if you are a big fan of DraftKings or Daily Fantasy Sports. He does great work, has his cheat sheets up at DraftKings Nation, and a little advice goes a long way. He did actually tell me in that interview, you should be buying Connor McDavid right now, and that was taped before his two-goal performance, so the information is solid, I promise you that. We'll also talk to former NHLer, one half of the Jason Gregor Show on TSN 1260. He's also doing intermissions on Sportsnet broadcast, played in the NHL, played for the Edmonton Oilers. Jason Struttle will stop by as well. Spoke to him Monday night immediately following the Oilers' 4-3 win over the Montreal Canadiens. So he'll join us to break that one down and discuss the team as they look at the Stanley Cup playoffs. Two more games on the schedule for the Edmonton Oilers. One on Wednesday. It's an early one at 3 o'clock start, taking on the Montreal Canadiens. And then on Saturday, the season wraps up with a 1:30 start against the Vancouver Canucks. And then all eyes on the playoffs. We'll find out who it's up against. Will it be the Jets, who the Oilers have had a lot of success against? Will it be the Montreal Canadiens, who might cause some problems? We'll find out as the week progresses. But just going back to Saturday night, and I got to say something about Connor McDavid, because the guy's an absolute phenom. I mean, he's doing things that I've never seen done in the NHL before. Granted, I missed out on Wayne Gretzky. I missed out on, you know, prime Mario Lemieux. But the guy, every night, he's doing something. And, you know, even the rare night that he's not putting up a point, he's doing other things to kind of take your breath away. So no real surprise for Connor McDavid getting to the 100-point marker. I thought that, you know, going on to the Jason Gregor Show a couple weeks ago, it just seemed like that was the benchmark. That's probably where he had his eyes set on. And good for him. Congratulations. Leon Draisaitl also playing very well as of late. And that's a great sign for the Edmonton Oilers, but I think, you know, we got to look big picture at this team, and the secondary scoring is going to have to come. They can't always rely on those top players, especially when you go up against the best teams in the NHL. They're going to be taking those guys away, so the Oilers need to find ways to get that secondary scoring. On Monday night, we saw James Neal chip in with a goal. Dominic Cahoon got one, of course, you know. I look at that goal and think that was more so Connor McDavid just banking it off him. But a good sign for Dominic Cahoon. Go to the blue paint, keep your stick on the ice, and Connor McDavid is that good. He can find ways to make it happen. Kyler Yamamoto assisting on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins' goal. Good sign there. Once he gets going, I think, you know, the goals are going to start to come in bunches. He's just in a bit of a slump right now, but I think good things coming for the young Oiler. And on the bad side of things, on Monday night, Mikko Koskinen lets in another softy one to tie the game. But I'm going to look at the optimistic side here. And when he allowed that goal, all of a sudden the game's tied up. With the game being tied up and going to overtime, the Montreal Canadiens got that one bonus point. And for that, it officially eliminated the Calgary Flames from playoff contention. So I'm going to go on the side and say, hey, Mikko Koskinen, he's been an Oiler for a few years, knew exactly what he was doing. He just wanted to eliminate the Calgary Flames from playoff contention. And he did it. And then the game went to overtime, and Connor McDavid did the rest of the work there. He gets his 33rd goal of the season, and the Edmonton Oilers pick up the big win. But like I said, in the process, the Canadiens grab another point. They clinch their playoff spot and thus eliminate the Calgary Flames. So win-win is what I would say for the Edmonton Oilers. But let's bring in somebody who's played the game. He watched the game against the Montreal Canadiens. He was handling intermissions on the Rogers Sportsnet broadcast. He's also a part of the Jason Gregor Show, which you can hear on TSN 1260 Monday through Friday with Jason Gregor and myself. Jason Strudwick joins me now. Struddy, thanks a lot for doing this tonight. How are you doing?
Oh, great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm glad you were able to do a great work during the intermissions. And you're telling me it's kind of a ghost town down at Rogers Place during these games, hey?
Oh, it's really eerie. So, I mean, this is an away game. Even when it's a home game, there's still not many people there. But it's even more noticeable at a away game. And, you know, it's me and Gene and, you know, a cameraman or two. And then you got, you know, Louis and those guys doing it on the other side of the rink. But, you know, trying to get out, like, you're trying to find a security guard. It's like trying to find some help at the bay. Like, there's no one anywhere, you know. It's just, it's so weird to be there and to not to see anybody around there. Like, it's usually so bustling.
It would be very eerie. And, like, I kind of get it. Like, you know, throughout this whole pandemic, you've probably been in a situation where, you know, whether you're downtown on Jasper Ave or you're at the mall when, you know, the big lockdown was happening, it's kind of weird. But I'm glad you made it out. I won't put it in the podcast, but I heard your struggles, and I'm glad you got out of the Ice District and on your way home. Now, before we get to the game on Monday night against the Montreal Canadiens, 4-3 win in overtime, I want to go back to Saturday and Connor McDavid getting to the 100th point. And there was definitely a point in this season when you and I thought that's probably not possible, but then within the last 2 weeks, it just sort of became inevitable. What has he done to just elevate his game, which was already at a high level last year?
Oh, man. You know, I think he's kind of figuring out how to create offense in more ways than just skating around everybody. And there's nothing wrong with that, because trust me, any hockey player would love to have that ability. But I think that he's, you know, he's figuring out, you know, that when he attacks with speed, it does open up other people. I think he's worked on a shot, which was really good, but now it's, you know, getting right up there amongst some of the most dangerous shooters around. And just understanding when to turn on his speed and when not to have his speed on. Like, he's mixing it up all the time. You know, we've even seen him this year, instead of driving wide, he stops and cuts back in front of the D-men because they're backing off so far. So doing so many different ways and attacking different ways, that it's a surprise. And you're kind of wondering as a D-man, okay, what is he going to do this time?
Now, obviously, you and he are different players, and, you know, no one in the NHL is totally alike. But you look at the guy, 24 years old. Like, is he in the prime right now, or do you think he can get even better?
Well, I think there's no doubt he'll have a 50-goal season. You know, the top players, that seems to be a, I don't know what you want to call it, a benchmark or a level that you're like, yeah, this is a big deal, like getting 50 goals. So I think, I would expect that to happen. I honestly, man, I think it might happen next year, if you want my honest opinion. And because I think he's going to keep working on his shot and maybe adding a little bit more dangerous one-timer. And I hate talking about Connor McDavid like that, but, you know, if there's one little area I'd tweak, or that he could tweak, would be that. But, you know, I kind of take him from a 9.8 to a 9.9, then, I guess, Connor. But I think that, you know, I believe he is getting close to his prime, but I think that even when he come out of his scoring prime, he's going to be so smart, and he is smart, but a smart hockey player, he'll beat you in different ways. Maybe that don't pile up as many points, but becoming even more efficient. So I think this guy's still got a lot of runway of before we say, okay, he's a finished product. which is really scary if you're an opponent.
Yeah, you're telling me 33 goals so far this season. To me, 50 seems inevitable, especially if this were an 82-game season. And maybe he doesn't admit it, but I think he looks at those benchmarks. Like, the 100 points, I think, for him was a big deal this year. And, you know, clearly the way he played the last couple of weeks here, he was trying to track it down. It was almost a 3 or 4 point performance every night. He gets there, and now he's at 102. Game winner on Monday night against the Montreal Canadiens. Let's just talk about it and get it out of the way. Mikko Koskinen lets in another softy. If worst comes to worst and something happens where he had to play in the NHL playoffs, what happens for the Edmonton Oilers?
That's an area of concern. I mean, he made it through most of the game, making good saves and looking comfortable. And then that one plunks in, you're like, ooh. So now, what do you do if you're Dave Tippett? I think you got to get Mikko another game. You got to get him feeling good about himself in case you do need him. You know, and it looks like the Oilers don't have any back-to-backs in their first series, so that's a positive. So Mike Smith can play all the time, but you know, for the most part, Miko's been okay this year, right? He's been fine, but now the last two games, heading the playoffs, he's let in three stinkers. You know, out of seven goals, I'd say, he let in. Three of them are stinkers. And not even for the media, not even for the fans, but for Mikko himself, he's got to be feeling about as good about his game going to the playoffs. And you look at the guy, Cahoon. He gets a goal. He feels all of a sudden, you know, I'm feeling good again. I've scored. Yamamoto gets a point. Nude scores 5-on-5. I'm back, baby. Like, it can make such a difference, right? Just that one good moment in a game. So for Mikko, unfortunately, he's had three poor moments in the game where otherwise it's been okay. So that's what's hard for him. He's the one who has to believe in himself. If he can't believe in himself, it's hard for anyone on his team to believe in him.
The Dominic Cahoon goal scored, to me, it almost looked like McDavid just kind of banked it off his stick. Like, but is that a good sign for Cahoon, like, just to know that, hey, if I'm going to play on this line, go to the front of the net, keep my stick on the ice, and, you know, it can be that easy at times, playing with a guy like McDavid?
100%. I mean, he's got to learn that, you know, where did he score that one? He was in the blue paint.
Yeah.
Like, right in the blue paint. You even look at Neil's goal tonight. McLeod just skated through the blue paint. The puck went off him into James Neal. Like, when you go to the blue paint, good things happen, especially when great players are out there. Like McDavid, it's because everyone's watching McDavid. On that play, Romanoff, he just takes a step out to try to block where he thought it was a shot. McDavid throws a pass through him or just beside him and lands on the big guy's stick, Cahoon's stick. So that's what it's about. You just have to get close to net and get open. They'll find you. That's what they do. You don't have to do that. The hard part, you do the simple part of tapping it in. So, you know, Cahoon, for him, I think it's just important for him to get some points or a goal in this situation. And now it's a couple games left to go in the regular season. Now, if he get another one, also now he's believing in himself again, because I'm sure he's had doubts about his ability to score lately.
Another guy who's probably got some doubts right now, Kyler Yamamoto. I think he's had some very good opportunities, but just seems a little bit snake bit. You know, for him, what do you think the coaching staff would tell him? Like, still a young player, still early on in his career. In his career, he has, you know, been a guy who has been counted on to put up points and offensive numbers. But slumping the way he is right now, what do you think the message is to him?
Well, just keep going. Believe in yourself. Because, you know, young players, they've never been through slumps. And now all of a sudden you're going through a slump and you're like, hey, well, how do I get out of it? You know, and that's the hard part. Is how do you get out of it when you're still getting a few chances but not finishing? So tonight, his assist, I don't think he's going to put that up on a, you know, his mom's not going to paint that on a plate and put it up on the wall. But he still is, you know, he got a point. And so it just started like, okay, God, I finally got a point. Now I can start trying to get something else going. And maybe it just leads to a little bit more confidence. Just hang on to that puck an extra second, or like I said, go to the paint a little bit more. And now I think it's really important for him to get more points and or a goal in the next two games. So you can say, you know what, instead of thinking I have X number of points in the last 10 games, the last three games I have 2 or 3 points in that, and I'm going to the playoffs feeling better about myself, because it's confidence. Those offensive players, they need confidence. They need to get points to feel good about themselves. Chances, you know, they don't buy fancy cars for you. Goals and assists do.
Yeah, I mean, I was like happy to see that. Like, hey, he takes this shot, it doesn't get through, but it bounces to Nuge, who buries it. Good to see for Nuge. I mean, I think the Oilers need to get some secondary scoring going. As of late, it's been all through McDavid and Draisaitl, but you're right. I hope he gets it going, because, I mean, that would go a long way for the Oilers as they approach this playoff season here. I want to ask you about Mike Smith, obviously playing very good hockey right now. Monday night, the coaching staff decides to give him the night off. Alex Stalock was backing up Mikko Koskinen. From your perspective, like, how much does that change for Mike Smith into the preparation of the game day? Like, is it just more time to relax throughout the whole day?
Well, I knew goalies all do it differently. You know, there's some goalies, when they know they have a day off, they want to have a really good moment or a good session with their skills coach, their goalie coach, right? And maybe get a workout in. There are other goalies that just did nothing. They'd go out for the morning skate, then they'd go back to their hotel, have their lunch, and then have a big nap and just hope they didn't have to play that night. Like, everyone's different. So, you know, Mike Smith he's not a 22-year-old rookie. This is a guy who's been around a long time. He knows how to manage his energy, how to manage what he needs to do to be ready. So I'm sure that whatever he did, he got the most out of it, the most value. You know, I'm guessing, you know, he may have had a few moments with his goalie coach and had a pretty chill day other than that. You know, thankfully he didn't have to go in tonight, so he can have a rest. I'm guessing he probably plays one of the last two games, you know, maybe Saturday, you know, just before the playoffs start, but who knows. That conversation I'll have between Mike Smith and his goalie coach, then the goalie coach, Dustin Schwartz, and the other coaching staff, to kind of figure out what would be the best outcome or the best way for this to play out prior to entering the playoffs.
So next week at this time, we'll likely know who the Oilers take on in the first round of the playoffs and when those games will be. For the last two games here, you've got the Montreal Canadiens on Wednesday, then the Vancouver Canucks on Saturday, both games early in the day. What do you think the attitude and the feeling is for the team going into two games where, I mean, you know, not to be too blunt, but they really don't mean a whole lot?
Yeah, they don't mean anything. So, you know, for some guys, you might be a little bit more like a Conor McDavid. You want to just feel good about yourself, right? Keep your jump up, keep moving it. And, you know, for some of those guys we talked about a bit, like Cahoon and Nuge, you know, I thought the line of McLeod and Neil and Jason had a good game tonight, or a good game. You want to kind of keep feeling that and keep trying to build on that. So build on some momentum. So when you hit the playoffs, you hit it feeling good about your game. So for those type of guys, I'm bringing everything I got every game. Like, my preparation doesn't drop off a cent. In fact, I probably push it to another level so that I can keep getting ready, because, you know, the Oilers, you know, I'm guessing they're going to, you know, they play Saturday. They might not play till the next Wednesday or Thursday. So you want to make sure you finish these last two games feeling good about yourself and you're sharp, have a couple of days, good days of practice, and then be ready for that game one, knowing that you're feeling good about your game. And I, you know, I'm talking a lot about that confidence, but it's so much a part of it. You know, you're just feeling good about yourself, the way you're moving, the way you're skating, the way your game's at, and that's so key. So preparation for a lot of players on this Oilers team is going to be so key these last two games.
The Oilers, obviously, good track record against the Jets so far this season. For Montreal, a couple tough losses, maybe scheduled losses even. They get the win tonight. We'll see what happens on Wednesday. But is there a team that you think is a better matchup for the Oilers?
I tell you what I don't like. I don't like the idea of the Montreal Canadiens for the Oilers. The Montreal Canadiens, let's assume all the guys come back and be healthy. Maybe not Drouin, but everyone else. That's a really physical team, and that team would take a physical toll on the Oilers. I'm not suggesting the Oilers don't want to play physical. I'm not suggesting they can't play physical. But when that's your first series of what you hope to be for, and you've got to go get abused by, on the defense, Sherratt, Weber, Edmondson, Petrie. I mean, that is not a fun group of D-men to play against. Then up front, you got, you know, a Gallagher, a Josh Anderson. You've got, Corey Perry. Like, all these guys are just going to be hard and finishing checks and body checking. All you, like, oh, it just wear you down. So, you know, in preparation for any hope is more than just one round. I think that'd be a bad one for the Oilers to go in, because they're really going to rough up the Oilers, just like they'd rough up any team. That's how Montreal has to win. So on the flip side, you get the Jets. They're not built as much like that. They have more forward depth, more experienced forward depth, I should say, than the Canadiens do. But that is not going to be as a physical series. And still, I mean, the playoffs are physical, but there's no D-men that are even close to as physical as you'll find on the Montreal Canadiens. So that's a matchup I wouldn't want for the Oilers. I'd rather see them play for the Jets in that first round.
So what I'm hearing is the Oilers take on the Jets. They have a relatively easy first round, hopefully get the win. On the flip side, Maple Leafs and the Canadiens just beat the crap out of each other, and, you know, whoever you play, you get kind of a weakened opponent.
Well, that's it. Now, I'm assuming a few things, like you just said. Number one, the Oilers can get past the Jets, right?
Yeah.
The Connor Halivik doesn't win four games on his own. But then also that, you know, the Oilers, you know, they don't need to maybe prepare for a physical series, because I don't believe that if we can, you know, based on the standings, I assume that Toronto-Edmonton would be the natural final in the North Division. I don't expect that to be as physical series as you'd get from the Montreal Canadiens. And so the Leafs would be more, you know, beat up, you know, playoff beat up, you know, after that series. So that's 100% how I see it. It's, you know, you're hoping for a lot of things to go right, but if you're looking for what physically would keep the Oilers fresher, I believe a series with the Jets would be way more than a long, drawn-out series with the Canadiens. Those, I mean, can you imagine Shea Weber seven games up against those guys? Oh, my God, they might have to throw him in jail the way he uses that stick.
Well, I was just thinking Leon Draisaitl's poor back. It's going to be just broken after a series against Shea Weber. Struz, last question for you. Last time the Oilers went on an extended playoff run, Fernando Pisani became maybe the most popular guy in the city. If the Oilers were to go on another run this year, who do you think are some potential candidates to really come on in the playoffs and maybe surprise some people?
Well, I like the line of McLeod, Neil, and Chiasson. I mean, you saw tonight, they were really good in the offensive zone. Like, below the tops of the circles, they had multiple shifts where they kept it in there. They ended up scoring a goal. And quite frankly, could have had two goals if just been like a quarter inch lower instead of hitting the crossbar. But that's what those guys can do. So James Neal is a guy who has scored in the playoffs, who has scored a lot in the NHL. And I still think we haven't seen the best out of him this year because of the situation that he went through health-wise. So that's a player I think we really got to watch. I think, quite frankly, is being and has been drastically undervalued by Oilers fans.
Do you think he could potentially, and I think we saw it tonight in the first period, get on that first unit power play?
Yeah, he's a guy that brings a different look. You know, who they're going to be on the power play. You know, Nuge for forwards. Nuge, McDavid, and Draisaitl, and then on the points, either Barry or Nurse. But that place in front is a bit interchangeable, right? You got Neil, you got Chiasson. You know, at times you've seen Tuliarvi. I think you've even seen Yamamoto a couple of times when there were some injuries. But I think that Neil is of those guys, he's the coldest shot killer, right? Like he can make some goals happen there pretty easily, or not easily, but you know, more naturally than the others. So my expectation is that James Neal will have a part to play in this whole thing, a lot like Gollum did in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Still haven't seen those movies, actually, so I can't fully commit.
Oh, man, you haven't lived life.
Oh, I tried to once when I was in high school, and I was on a sick day, but the DVD scratched, and I couldn't finish it. So I took that as a sign from the universe.
Oh, geez,
I'll get it. I'll get to it one day.
I love it.
All right, Struts, thanks a lot for doing this. Get home safe, and stop street racing, guys. I can hear you. You're not that subtle.
This old truck is getting up and down. No, I can't wait for the playoffs, buddy.
All right, perfect. Thanks, Strutty.
You man, talk to you later, buddy.
Great stuff from former NHLer, former Oiler, Jason Strudwick. Give him a follow on Twitter as well, at Jason_Strudwick. You can also hear him on TSN 1260 Monday through Friday on the Jason Gregor Show. And as always, we appreciate Strutty's insight here on the Other Connor podcast. Thought he said some really good things, and we'll have to get him on once again during the playoffs as the Oilers officially going. Now we just have to wait and see who they'll take on, whether it will be the Montreal Canadiens or the Winnipeg Jets. And hearing from Strutty, probably prefer the Winnipeg Jets. Let's continue the Oiler talk with Rob Soria. He, of course, authored the book Connor McDavid, Hockey's Next Great One. You can also give him a follow on Twitter at oil_drop. He writes at thehockeywriters.com. And in case you missed it over this weekend, somehow Connor McDavid getting to 100 points in a 56-game season. after Monday. He's up to 102 points on the season. Absolutely remarkable what he's doing. And Rob covered him for a long time, wrote the book. You can get it on Amazon. And I really appreciate Rob doing this today. Rob, thanks a lot for hopping on the podcast here. How are you doing?
I'm very good, all things considered, my man. How are you?
I'm doing good. And we kind of talked before you came on and before we started taping. But, I mean, back in the day, you were one of the, I think, weekly guests with Alan Mitchell on the Lowdown with Low Tide.
Yes, back in the day when I was heavy into the writing gig, and Al was just, I guess not just starting out, but in the earlier stages of his show. Yeah, I was on there quite a bit. Always had a good time jumping on with you guys. It was always informative for me, and yeah, with us, it was always Al and I would either go, well, we kind of go all over the place. Sometimes it would be Oilers, then baseball, then tennis, kind of wherever we wanted to go. It was always fun.
Oh, I remember it was always good to have you on, and Al was always insisting, like, oh, Rob's coming on. And, I didn't fight it, to be clear, but it was always great to have you locked in there and have that guest. And good to get you on the show here. And I'm just thinking back in those days, and we would have had you on talking to Al. The Oilers, I mean, that was right smack dab in the middle of the decade of darkness. And I think we might have been optimistic because Taylor and Hall and Jordan Eberle, those were the guys to turn it around.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, I started writing full-time in 2011. So, yeah, slap dab right in the middle of it. And, yeah, I think we all expected it to turn around quicker. I also think many of us would agree that if certain things were dealt with differently, they probably would have come around quicker. But on the flip side to that, if that did occur, they probably wouldn't have that guy who wears 97 on his back currently with the franchise. So it's kind of worked out in a weird way.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually remember I was in Vegas. I was at a pool party at the Flamingo the day of the NHL draft when they drafted Neil Yakupov. And I was watching the draft with a couple Islanders fans. And, you know, we're just, you know, talking back and forth. And I said, well, it's too bad the Oilers won't have a shot at that McDavid kid out in Ontario. And, crazy how things worked out. And you wrote the book, Hockey's Next Great One, Connor McDavid. And I have the book. I think you gifted a couple copies to us. Great read. And I mean, to be honest here, this segment here, we're probably just going to be pumping up Connor McDavid for the entirety of it. 32 goals this year, 68 assists, totaling 100 points in 53 games. You've chronicled the career. Would you ever have a guess that he could put up points like this in a shortened NHL season?
Well, the shortened NHL season, I guess, wouldn't have been something I would have realistically looked at, to be honest. But does it shock me that he's, what is this, year six? 6 years into his career, and he's essentially on pace over a full season to put up 150 points? No, not really. Like, honestly, if this was a full season, I would have probably projected him to be around 150 points. It's funny because I was talking to just a fan via social media, I think it was last week, because we were talking about the 100-point thing, and I fall into the category where I honestly don't think it's a big deal to the kid just because of what it is, and I think a lot of it has to do with the Oilers' lack of success in the postseason. Don't get me wrong, obviously he was pretty pumped to do it, because if you can do it, you do it. But we were talking, and I was like, yeah, you know, maybe over the course of a season, I'd say a full season a little bit more, and then I was like 150, and then I did the math, and I'm like, that's pretty much what he's doing. So I guess it wouldn't be a little less, because I don't really hold or believe anything with regards to the idea of he's playing in the North Division, that's why he's putting up more points. It's just silliness. Every division has good teams. Every division has bad teams. So, and I don't know, like you and everyone else, have they not watched him the first 5 years of his career? So, yeah, I'm not stunned at all, though, Connor, not at all.
So you wrote the book back in 2017, correct?
It was leading up to that playoff run.
So what inspired you to write the book, and I mean, what research and preparation went into it?
It was a combination, because I had been writing quite a bit at the time. I had kicked heavy into the amount of blogging and such I was doing between my own blog and then on the Hockey Writers. And then I had kind of messed around with the idea of maybe doing an Oilers book, and then McDavid had kind of started to take off, and I was like, this might be interesting. And then I actually had the guys over at Triumph Books out in Chicago contact me about maybe doing a project, and I kind of mentioned that, and we just kind of went from there, and next thing you know, I was contracted to do that, and it was fun. It was a bit of a combination, right? Because some of it, I used some of the stories or articles I had already written since he had come into the league, and then there was other stuff I added into it as well. So research-wise, it was a combination, right? Did some interviews with guys, especially junior days, because there's a bit of that in there where I kind of had to do a little more research on that. While I did know stuff, doing the research for the book was kind of a must. So I touched base with some of the guys out east there. And then here, very much some of the journalists around here. I did have some contacts within the organization, some players. So it was kind of neat to do that, and it was fun to put it together. I will say it's different than writing for a blog, that's for sure. Time crunch is a little different for that, for sure.
So going through that process, you mentioned that you talked to some guys out east from his junior career. Was there anything you learned about him that maybe surprised you?
Probably not, but at the time, a little. You know, now that I sit back and think about it, just because when you think guys... Again, I'm old enough where I watch Gretzky play, and I lived through all the other great players in different sports in these last 40 years that have played, right? And the one thing with him was the sheer dedication that he had as a young kid. I was kind of, like, from a really, really young age, I was kind of surprised that it was that high end and how dedicated he was to it from a very young age. And then once it came into the junior days, I think even at first it was a little bit more, I'll kind of, you know, go through, wait and see how things go. But then I feel he kind of was like that in the NHL to a degree. It took him a couple of years before he kind of started, not almost to dominate, but to do it in such a way where it's like if you look at him now, I think he pretty much, like people have mentioned it to me in recent weeks, the way he demands this and that. He's done it to a degree throughout his career on the ice, but I think once he got more comfortable in his NHL skin, and then it was the same thing in junior, he started to realize, I think, where it's like, okay, I'm at this level, and I want that puck, and I'm going to go do what I need to do. So the fact it was there at such a young age, the drive part of it, was a bit of a surprise. But like I said, once I thought about it later on, it makes sense for the elite guys in other sports that they have that drive from a very, very young age.
Now, you know, going back to look at when he entered the league, like, obviously there were certain traits that we still see now, the skating ability, the quickness, just everything he does at such a high pace. But I want to ask you if there's anything that's maybe surprised you about his game. Like, for Leon Draisaitl, when he came into the league, I personally thought, yeah, the guy can pass the puck well, he's going to be a very good player, but I didn't think he'd be a 50-goal scorer, which obviously he's become, and he's one of the best pure goal scorers in the NHL right now. Was there anything about Connor McDavid's game in the last couple of years that has surprised you?
Probably not a lot, not these last couple of years. Like, I think because it was going to take time for him to, like, I knew the defensive side of the game was going to be a bit of an issue with him, even though even from his rookie year, he back-checked to a degree, but learning that part of it, and he's still not stellar at it, but he's way better at it. So I expected that to come along in time. And yeah, now where he is, he's entering his prime years. So you'd kind of expect that. I am kind of surprised that he's been able to rein in his speed and control it a little better. We all know that kind of, we can talk about defensemen hitting him and whatever the case may be with him getting hurt, the two times he's been hurt. The last time, not that as long ago, but certainly the first one. It's hard to maintain that speed and stay in control. We saw with Hall at times, right? And Hall was nowhere near as fast. The thing that's benefited with him as well, though, I think, is the way the league has kind of softened up in the last few years for certain stick fouls. Granted, he gets still fouled a lot, but a lot of that is clutching and grabbing and interfering stuff, some hacking. I think he's adapted to that very well. And obviously him starting to shoot the puck more, but I think, again, that was something that was going to come. You saw him as a rookie where it was like, man, if this guy shoots the puck, he's going to easily be in that 40 to 60 goal range on a regular basis. And I think now that he's entering his prime years, that's what you're seeing. He's not Austin Matthews as far as a goal scorer goes. He's not even Draisaitl. But as you mentioned, I expected Draisaitl to be a very good player. I didn't expect him to be a 50-goal scorer either. But to his credit, he turned himself into that literally in one off season when he knew he was going to be playing as much as he was with McDavid. So, you know, and he's that's another thing that's been fortunate for McDavid. He's got that running mate. Whether they play with him all, whether they play together all the time or not, he does have that running mate that he feels that connection with, which is a benefit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Leon Draisaitl. Like, one off season, I think he really dedicated himself to skating. The next year, it was becoming maybe a sniper, and it's like whatever he puts his mind to, he's finding a way to get it done. So that's awesome to see from him. And obviously, like you said, having that running mate for Connor McDavid is going to work out well for this team. Let's talk about the current addition of the squad right now. Looks like second place in the North Division. Do you think they met expectations, maybe exceeded expectations this year?
I guess exceeded slightly. I had them anywhere probably finishing second-ish with the outside of pushing the Leafs. The Leafs have been a little better than I expected them to be. So anywhere from second to potentially missing the playoffs on the last day of the season. So in that sense, they've bumped forward. I didn't expect the division to kind of separate as much as it did, but I think part of that was the whole COVID thing that kind of hit a lot of the teams here and whatever's happened to Winnipeg, right? So I don't know what that was or still is, to be honest with you. So I guess they've gone past it a little bit, but let's not kid ourselves. A lot of that is due to their goaltending. You know, no one in their right mind would have expected this from Mike Smith. Like, I've been a Mike Smith guy where I've kind of been in that middle. Like, like most people didn't think they should have brought him back. But Smith, for the longest time, even when he was a really good goalie, he literally has, there's really good Mike Smith, and then there's bad Mike Smith. There's, like, no in-between. And this year, almost, I'd say, 90% of his games, he's been the really good Mike Smith. So it's been good so far. I am a little scared about the playoffs, to be honest with you, because of that, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I disagree with you on that one. I've agreed that, you know, the guy is streaky and this year's been really great, but you want to see what he does in the playoffs. He was named the Oilers nominee for the Masterton Memorial Trophy, so that's a pretty cool story for him. On McDavid and Draisaitl going into the playoffs, do you like them on the same line or would you prefer to see them split up?
I hope to God they're split up. If they plan on going anywhere. Now, like, I get why Tippett goes to it. I really do. But it shouldn't be a regular thing where he's going to. It's just because they're not good enough. The other nine, well, whoever those other nine forwards are on those three lines, you gotta split it up. So I hope not. I know there's only a few games left now. I wish he would have done it before, to be honest with you, and I still think McDavid would have got his 100 points. But we'll see. You know, I know when if they're going to be in a pinch, that's what he's going to go to. And again, perfectly fine and understandable. But against a better team, that won't work. And against the way Winnipeg is playing now, it might work. But if their goaltender gets hot, and you know, Winnipeg is pretty deep up front. The problem is Winnipeg's D can't handle McDavid. So, but if Hellebuck plays well, then that one line attack could be problematic, right? And my only fear with it is by him playing those two as much as he has down the stretch here, it's hard to find chemistry, right? Like, he can throw back the Draisaitl, Yamamoto, and RNH line together, but, you know, both of those guys have been terrible this season. So to just think they're going to get back together and find the magic they had last year, which to me was kind of I didn't think was sustainable over the course of a season. That said, you think they would have went to it sooner than they did.
So, you know, if they do go with the dry line, as some people like to call them, and then you have Connor McDavid with Jesse Puljujarvi, who do you think would be on the other wing for the Oilers' top line?
As in who I would put there?
Who would you put there? Absolutely. You're Coach Tippett right now. What's it looking like?
Honestly, like a lot of guys, I'd probably put, at least in spurts out there, I'd put Tyler Ennis up there.
Not
He's
a bad option.
Played well there when given the opportunity. He's always performed pretty well in the playoffs, and that speed is a benefit, right? But, yeah, that's the thing. Like, because so few guys have been up there in that spot, it makes it difficult. And I know people used to complain about this a lot with Sidney Crosby. He's not the easiest guy to play with. Well, yeah, he's not, because they play a certain way. They see the game a certain way. And even Puljujarvi, who early on, the Oilers did him zero favors with how they used him. But the short time he played with McDavid, certain stats, secondary stats were really good. But you could tell at times McDavid was frustrated playing with him, and Puljujarvi looked lost. And that's because you need time to be able to adapt to playing with a player of that, with that skill set and that mindset on the ice. And honestly, it goes back to the thing with Hall, where you got fans here who said, oh, the two of them never played well together. Well, they played like three games together, and they looked together. They looked good together when they played in the World Championships that offseason, right? So, yeah, I probably do, Ennis, but yeah, that's a tough call. It really is. What about you? What do you think on that one?
Honestly, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I do like Tyler Ennis kind of in and out of the lineup, but it might be more of a just kind of an indictment on what else they have. Like, if we're going with Tyler Ennis, it's unfortunate that they don't have anyone else that, you know, might fit better. Obviously, you're just going to try to rebuild the chemistry with the Drysdale, Yamamoto, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins line, but I think I'm right there with you. This coming down as we're talking earlier on in the conversation, the Condors signing Oilers first-round pick Dylan Holloway to an amateur tryout. He will wear number 44. The Condors have three games left in the season. What do you think of Holloway and a potential top-line winger in his future?
Oh, that's tough to say. His potential is there for sure. It's hard with college guys, right? You have to take it with a grain of salt of him automatically turning into that guy. I hope so. Like, I really do. I think the skill set and the potential is there. But, yeah, that's a tough call. Like, I wouldn't know. I would say for sure a middle six guy. I don't know if he'd be a top line player. That said, honestly, Connor, I think the Oilers should have been doing this years ago, and they should have been taking the Sidney Crosby approach to this for ages, and they still haven't, and it perplexes me as to why. Just go find him a winger to play. Now, if they have Puljujärvi, who's going to stay there, great, find another winger to play there. Because nothing makes me laugh more than when I hear these people go on about the McDavid-Crosby comparisons. We've heard it the last week or so, how McDavid hasn't won any cups. It's like, well, don't even compare the two teams, number one. But from a running mate on a line, yeah, he'd have Draisaitl, but in a perfect world, when the Penguins got better, Malkin and Crosby never really played together. They did once in a while. But then you think about the guys they signed annually, they would sign guys. Yeah, people always talk about Chris Kunitz, but yeah, they had Hossa, they had Bill Guerin, they had lots of guys that rotated through, and either they played with Crosby or they played with Malkin. And the Oilers don't do that. And I'm hoping this offseason, you go out and, you know, Barry, I guess, is kind of like that this year on the back end. He probably wasn't needed, but I get why they did it. But if they can go and get guys like that moving forward on one-year deals who are looking to cash in that fit his skill set, you know, I don't see why that player needs to come from within the organization. It'd be great, but I don't know if that's plausible right away.
Connor McDavid, Hockey's Next Great One. You can get it on Amazon, anywhere else people can look for it if they want to buy the book.
Yeah, for sure. It's available. It's out there. Yeah, Amazon always has it on there. I know these days going to get anything at an actual bookstore is kind of hit and miss for most people, as none of us really leave our houses. But the easiest way is through Amazon. The company that put it out, as I mentioned earlier, was Triumph Books. You can also get it off their website as well. But for most people, the easiest way would certainly be via Amazon. And I'm hoping in the next little bit, once all our regular day-to-day lives comes to some normalcy again, I'll get back on the writing gig online as well.
Awesome. Well, it's looking forward to it. Hope it happens sooner rather than later. Rob, thanks a lot for doing this today.
Not a problem, man. It was a pleasure as always. You take care of yourself.
Great stuff from Rob Soria, the author of Connor McDavid, Hockey's Next Great One. I think we can get rid of the next. I think he's just Hockey's Great One right now because he is simply the best player in the NHL. Make sure you give Rob a follow on Twitter as well at @oil_drop. And great stuff. Great stuff. Love talking about Connor McDavid. And, you know, read the book. I highly recommend it. Like Rob said, you can get it on Amazon. Talks about, you know, when he was a younger player and hearing from people out east when he's playing with the Erie Otters. And I think for anyone who saw him as a young player, even at that World Juniors tournament that he was in, like, the guy's a stud. None of this should be too surprising, but at the same time, he just makes you shake your head sometimes. So really appreciate Rob doing this. Great chat with him. And now let's get to someone we have on every Tuesday edition here on the Other Connor podcast, a guy who tries to get you money. One of the good ones out there, Jeffrey Ulrich from DraftKings Nation. You can give him a follow on Twitter @TheFantasyGrind. And if you're a fan of DraftKings or daily fantasy sports, I highly recommend you do so. He's got his NHL cheat sheets. He's got info for the PGA as well. Jeffrey Ulrich joins us now. Jeffrey, thanks a lot for doing this today. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Yeah, excited to get to some playoff hockey. We're almost there, so that's good.
So you've been doing this for a long time now, and I've kind of mentioned it before here on the podcast that I've just got into DraftKings and Daily Fantasy Sports. What's it like in the playoffs? I mean, we've seen it already, I guess, this year. Teams tend to have those three-game series, but in the playoffs, 4 to 7 games can get pretty intense, and there can be some really good matchups. What changes, in your opinion, going into the playoffs for hockey?
Yeah, so for daily fantasy hockey, the playoffs are, I think there's still a lot of fun. Obviously, you're getting the same teams matched up a lot. So, things can change on a nightly basis. We know we have a big season sample to go off in terms of stats and stuff. But, teams will change lines. Players will get, inserted in and out really quickly. And you can get pretty drastic changes over the course of like 2 or 3 games. So it's really about paying attention to what's going on in the playoffs, which I think makes it better for more hardcore guys who really do like to follow what's going on in terms of the playoffs and stuff like that. Because, again, you can get massive line switches. You can get lines that get really hot. Third lines that all of a sudden become teams' first scoring lines. So really paying attention to what's going on a nightly basis, I think, in the playoffs, it benefits you more than in the regular season where, a line might go off for a big night here and there, but they won't be sustained scoring, but we always get those kind of Fernando Pisani-like runs in the playoffs from players, and certain lines just sort of take different roles. So I think that's the biggest thing to look for daily fantasy.
So you've been doing this for a while. I want to ask you, is there anyone that maybe during the regular season you look at and say, yeah, I'm in a pinch, if I need this guy, maybe I take a look, but now it's the playoffs, and now this guy is going to be way more valuable?
Yeah, I mean, again, it definitely behooves you to look more at the third lines and just, I wouldn't say the checking lines, but guys who aren't always in the scoring type of roles. So, every team is going to be a little bit different. Some teams, they just don't really have that depth. I mean, the Oilers are a team I'm not going to pay too much attention to, but there's a couple players, we could talk about even down in their depth chart who I think will be far more interesting plays in terms of the regular season. But I think more of those two-way players can become more valuable because, again, they're going to be playing a few more minutes sometimes if it's a tight checking game. And if it's a low scoring series, like if you're in a series where two goalies are playing really good, those guys who are out there for big minutes, big volume, getting you block shots and shots on goal, that's way more valuable because all of a sudden we don't have as many goal scoring opportunities. There's not as many opportunities for the high end offensive players. Sometimes those checkers who get out there a little bit more volume, they're going to rack up a few more points. And if they got hot on the score sheet as well, I mean, they can become big time like contributors. Trying to think some guys off the top of my head who are good examples, but just basically searching through the depth chart for teams' kind of third lines. Maybe a Nino Niederreiter is kind of a semi good example there. Carolina is a team who rolls three lines, so they're a team who you could kind of go diving in terms of depth-wise.
So talking about the Edmonton Oilers, you said you've got a couple of names that come to mind. And, for the Oilers, as of late, it's the offense has, kind of gone through Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. I know Monday night against the Canadiens, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and James Neal contributing with goals. But it's not just about the goals in daily fantasy sports. So who might be someone you might look at for the Oilers that maybe could get on a little bit of a streak here or does the other things?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Nugent Hopkins is definitely going to be someone you really want to watch in the playoffs. Obviously, it looks like the Oilers are pretty set on getting him back with Leon Draisaitl. I'm just trying to get him going on like a 5-on-5 perspective, which for daily fantasy is pretty significant because realistically, when he was kind of driving the second line, his only utility from scoring-wise came on the power play, which can be really hit or miss. So I think Nugent Hopkins, especially when you watch his salary, if he remains affordable, I think he's the type of guy who can get really hot. Obviously, he can contribute. He's going to be out there playing a ton, special teams, shorthanded, and power play. But if he's playing alongside Draisaitl on even strength, I think Nugent Hopkins, for his price, is going to be a real pivotal play. The other guy I would keep an eye on is James Neal. I mean, you mentioned him getting on the score sheet, but the Oilers have put him on the third line with Ryan McLeod. James Neal isn't the player he once was. He's not that great 5-on-5. He doesn't do a ton of other things other than just be a pretty good special teams guy. But the Oilers are going to use him on special teams. If they're going to roll him in a third-line role with a Ryan McLeod, who's a very good, just in terms of his skating ability, his ability to kind of center like a third line at this point, I think Neal could be really interesting for fantasy purposes. I think when you add in his power play utility, James Neal's a guy I would keep my eye on there if they're going to keep rolling him in the third line. And look, it's the playoffs. This is where a guy like James Neal, again, could definitely come alive for a little run. We've seen him go on these goal streaks before. So those are two Oilers I'd be very keep my eye on. A lot's going to depend on how they roll the line. But if Neal or Nugent Hopkins gets Hoff off the start, they could definitely be the Oilers to watch in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, and that would be a great sign for Oilers fans. If they can get some secondary scoring, which they haven't got a whole lot of as of late, that would go a long way for them. I want to ask you about, and this one just kind of came to me, seeing Mikko Koskinen get the start on Monday night against the Montreal Canadiens. Going back to last Thursday, he allows 4 goals on 4 shots. Now, I don't know how many people would have started him. I don't know, you know, maybe you're desperate and he's a really cheap goalie, but is that the worst daily fantasy performance you've seen in a long time?
It's pretty close, yeah. It doesn't get much worse than that. You know, it feels like every month you'll kind of just stumble into some goalie who they just, you know, they let in like 3 of the first 4 shots on net and you're sunk, you know? Like, you know he's not coming back for the second period. He's got like 5 saves on 8 shots, and it doesn't get much worse than what Koskinen put up, though. And it is kind of funny. We don't see that as much in the playoffs, but you will kind of get that's the one nice thing about the playoffs is the goaltending situation usually isn't as big a factor, where, you know, rotating guys, you don't have to like guess who's starting. It's kind of set in stone. You'll have some teams rotating. The Oilers certainly won't be one of them, I don't think, but yeah, as far as Koskinen goes, that was unfortunate, you know, and he kind of sucked people in because he had a good start, you know, before that one. So that's about as bad as it gets, though. Yeah, to answer your question.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, I bet there was probably some people out there that thought, you know what, he's been okay. You're going up against Vancouver, who's, you know, got some injuries and some other things, keeping some of their star players away. Maybe he might be a good fit. And, yeah, that clearly was not the choice. Now, let's go to the polar opposite. Connor McDavid reaching 100 points in a shortened season. I don't think anyone would have seen this coming. But, you know, when you got a guy playing as good as he has been, you know, you can almost pencil him in for 3 or 4 points. What's the thought process when it comes to him? Are you just going to put him in your lineup and pay the price no matter what, just because, you know, as of late, he has been guaranteed points?
Yeah, pretty much right now. And look, as we're going into the playoffs, too, I think you can start thinking about, like, what you want to do with him. But it likely the Oilers are going to match up with the Jets. That's not set in stone, I don't believe, yet. But if they do, you know, Connor McDavid would be a player who I'd want to get in there pretty much every night against the Jets. This is just not a team that has done well stopping them. They haven't done well stopping the puck. Connor Hellebuyck has come off his kind of, you know, cloud nine performance over the last year and a half a little bit. He's just regressed a little bit. And, you know, they just don't really have the defensive horses to keep up with a guy like McDavid. So right now, you know, obviously the Oilers still have a couple games to play out, but we'll see what they do in terms of resting or anything like that. But, you know, if they get the Jets first round, it would be all systems go. You know, things could definitely change in the second against Toronto or the Canadiens. But if they could match up with Winnipeg, like you could definitely even think about stacking all 3 Oilers. And I'm talking about like Nugent Hopkins and Leon Draisaitl there, just for the power play exposure. But I really feel like that matchup with Winnipeg is going to be really good for those Oilers top 2 lines. Maybe they shut down McDavid 1 or 2 nights, but if they do, it's just going to be the other line getting it. So I'm pretty bullish on the Oilers going forward if they get that Winnipeg first-round matchup.
How about Jesse Puljujärvi, a guy who's, you know, as of late, played some pretty good hockey, doing the little things and also now starting to get rewarded on the score sheet?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be interesting how Puljujärvi plays in the playoffs. I think, quite frankly, like it's going to be a pretty good setup for him. I mean, he's a guy who, like you said, skates hard every shift. Sometimes the production comes and goes with him, but like that's fine. I mean, the playoffs typically reward guys who just, you know, bring bigger effort. I mean, the effort level goes up for everyone. So I'm pretty confident that Puljujärvi is going to be on one of the top 2 lines every night going forward. And I kind of like this setup for him. I think he's got a game that grinds really well. He's shown improvement through the year. So yeah, absolutely. If he's going to stick on the wing with Connor McDavid, again, you know, you might get some nights where it's the other line, but I think Puljujärvi will have his kind of moments in the playoffs, especially in the first round. You know, when we get to the tougher teams, it might be a little bit harder to just stack the others every night. You might want to be looking elsewhere for better matchups. But for this first round, Yeah, absolutely. Those top two lines, like I said, I think they're going to just be going back and forth in terms of production.
Now, Jeff, right now, kind of a weird time for DraftKings or people that want to get in on the NHL Daily Fantasy Sports. Tuesday night, you've only got two games on the schedule. Looking ahead to Wednesday, there's five games. Thursday, you're back down to three. Friday, one game, and then Saturday, one game. Looks like the playoffs could be underway there. So for this week, are you a fan of, you know, the limited options here? And will you be dabbling, try to win some money here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, again, it all depends on how much, you know, kind of research you want to put into it. But there's opportunities here. We've got some, like, bigger mismatches and stuff like that. You know, Vancouver going to be on the schedule a lot, which is really interesting for fantasy purposes. I mean, you know, you're going to get younger guys getting more opportunities. So I think for daily fantasy, you know, you're going to have some interesting showdown contests as well, potentially. But until the playoffs get started, I like this time of year because, again, if you put in the research, you get some line updates. You can really take advantage of this stuff. So, I mean, you know, just in terms of even today, you know, you've got a weaker matchup with Dallas and Chicago going on that you could have taken advantage of. But, you know, going forward, those matchups with Vancouver should allow a lot of scoring, whether it's the Flames or the Jets matching up with them. So we may even get in a situation, like you mentioned, Connor, where you have, like, the Vancouver Canucks game on the schedule, which is going to be meaningless, and then you have a playoff game to go along with it, which would be a really interesting scenario. Obviously, a lot of scoring potential in that Vancouver game with how bad they are defensively. So, yeah, it all depends. You know, if you're someone who maybe wants to take a week off till the playoff starts or just doesn't want to deal with all these kind of line movement changes, sure, you could take a few days off here, but I like this. I mean, you're getting a little bit of a shortened slate, but there should be some good one-game showdown contests as well for a lot of those last games too.
Well, Jeff, as we're speaking right now on a Monday night, Connor McDavid just banked one in off Dominic Cahoon, and that might be the best way for Cahoon to get points because I don't think he even literally shot the puck. Like, I think McDavid literally banked it off his stick.
He's absolutely doing his job if he's letting Connor McDavid bank it off him. That is all you should be doing if you're on a line with Connor McDavid. You get in front of the goal, you just wait for Connor to hit you in a certain part of your body. That's a good strategy.
Exactly. Stick on the ice, make Don Cherry proud. Jeffrey, thanks so much for doing this once again. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Have a good one. Thanks.
Excellent stuff from Jeffrey Ulrich of DraftKings Nation. Give him a follow at The Fantasy Grind. And, yeah, let's see what happens here for the rest of the season. Obviously not the most amount of games, but you do your due diligence. You can potentially make some money this week, and then once the playoffs get going, you got to find those gems. There's always somebody who shows up out of nowhere and puts up a lot of points and is a huge player for their team, makes a big impact. Do your research, follow Jeffrey, and hopefully you'll be able to take advantage of that one. And that's going to do it for us here on the Other Connor podcast. Big thank you to everyone who tuned in to this episode of the show. Also our guests, Jason Strudwick, Rob Soria, Jeffrey Ulrich. Big thank you to all of them for giving me some of their time and hopping on the show this week for the Edmonton Oilers. They're back in action on Wednesday, taking on the Montreal Canadiens once again, then off until Saturday. 1:30 start, taking on the Vancouver Canucks. If you want some pregame coverage, TSN 1260 has you covered. Tom Gazzola, myself, Matt Cassian, starting at noon on Saturday as the Oilers wrap up their season. And then we just sit back and wait, see who it'll be in the playoffs, the Winnipeg Jets or the Montreal Canadiens. Time will tell. Keep on waiting, and we'll see what happens there. But once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Other Connor podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name's Connor Halley. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Other Connor podcast. New shows drop every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts from.